This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Well, I'm asking for fans of patience because we're in the first year of that transition. You know, I thought that the way we finished the year shows some promise. It's hard to win games in this league and to finish 15-5. Yeah, it's not a victory lap, but I think there's some positives.
That was Arturis Karnachovas at his end-of-season press conference. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score, talking about the many, many moves that are happening in the NBA. It's not just the Bulls signing Trey Jones and also trading away Lonzo Ball and getting Isaac Okoro in return. It's also the news that we have gotten just regarding the Bulls in the division. Shams Charania reporting just a few minutes ago that the Bucks are waiving Damian Lillard in order to make room financially for Miles Turner, he previously of the Indiana Pacers. So already we're seeing a lot of movement that is going to affect not just the Bulls, but their division as well.
I think we just have to come to an understanding that regardless of what the Bulls do this offseason, going into next season, they're still going to be in play-in at best territory.
And that's it. Based on their plan and based on the fact that you know that not much is changing with the team. Yeah, I look at this and I look at the deals that they have and I feel like Arturis Karnachovas told you that in summer 2026 they're going to have more flexibility. We are seeing teams creatively try to move salaries, sometimes ruthlessly, when you consider guys like Damian Lillard, for example, and his Achilles, where he's going to be out for expected to be, what, a year or thereabouts from when he got injured. The timeline, I think, varies a little bit inside of that, but not enough to matter. So we're already seeing how this is changing what we know about the NBA, the deals that have happened, and also how it affects the Bulls. Regardless, the two biggest pieces that I think put the Bulls in this position are the Patrick Williams contract and Nikola Vucevic. Until either of those pieces move, I think this is what you're looking at with those moving around it in this way.
Those two pieces that you talk about are such varying pieces because while they are both things that need to be moved by the Bulls, one of them has value. The other one is you're taking it on in a way, if you're another team, where you're going to need some other stuff back in addition to Patrick Williams when you're talking about being in the midst of an $18 million annual average salary.
So if you're looking at the Bulls roster right now and trying to figure out the depth chart, last night on CHSN, they showed the depth chart from where it stands right now. It's Josh Giddey, Trey Jones backing him up. And of course, they haven't signed Giddey yet, so this is projected. Kobe White, Isaac Okoro, Modest Bouzelis, and Vooch. And then Williams is backing up Bouzelis in this. Essanga is backing up Okoro, which I think probably makes sense as Okoro was the piece to get them to the point before Essanne is starting?
I'm not sure that Okoro, even if he plays 30-plus minutes, I'm not sure Essanne is going to get as much time. I
think they have Essanne on the same type of plan that they had Modest last
right,
year.
Right, so there could be games where, A, he doesn't play, or B, he's only playing 5 to 10 minutes. If he can't play defense, Billy Donovan's not going to have him out there. We saw that with Modest last year.
Well, and that's the point about this, is Okoro's defense is why he was acquired, or at least that's what I think. But it also comes down to, given the framework of what you know about the Bulls, given that signing Giddey is the biggest free agency move they can make, is retaining their own player, given that Giddey doesn't have as many places to go now because of the Michael Porter Jr. deal.
He has nowhere to go unless they're talking about a sign and trade. There's nowhere for him to go that can give him the type of money that he wants except for Chicago.
And if you missed that, yeah, Denver reportedly, according to our friend Shams, Nutrier Zone, Denver trading Michael Porter Jr. to the Nets for Cam Johnson. That was reported yesterday. So that also limits Giddey's market, which, again, can you buy some flexibility? Can you sign him to a cheaper offer? Because the market for him is small. I don't care about his happiness via his salary when the difference means more to the team than it does to the individual.
Well, I wonder if there's a chance for Giddey to sign a shorter deal if he feels like he's still in improvement mode. He's going to play, and he's going to sign with the Bulls. It's just going to be a matter of, is that number going to be closer to $20 million or $30
million? We're looking
it should be closer to $20
million. It should be. Yeah, we need to look at this differently. Instead of looking at it as the Bulls need to sign Josh Giddey to what his value is based on what we saw him do in March, it needs to be the Bulls need to sign Josh Giddey based on the market for him, being that the Bulls are the ones with the advantage here. The Bulls can get a bargain on Josh Giddey. That's how we should be looking at it. Is it fair to him? No, he's got a lot of years in front of him. I'm confident he's going to earn a lot of money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could be a shorter deal if he's not happy with the compensation. So if you sign him instead of, say, a five-year deal to a two- or a three-year deal where he's making good money, I think that might make sense for both parties. But ultimately, I think the Bulls are going to give him closer to what he wants than closer than what they should give him.
This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score. Our friend Will Perdue had a good discussion earlier this morning with Mully and Haw. If you missed it, strongly recommend going back and listening on the Rewind app. The question was, who's the most important player on the Bulls roster? Who's the most talented?
The most talented is Josh Giddey. The most important player at the moment, I think, is Kobe. That's the interesting thing. And remember, we were in this predicament earlier. Remember, Zach was the face, but DeMar was the best player.
Right.
That was kind of a weird dynamic. So that's kind of like, yes, we've gotten younger. Yes, we seem, that's the one thing we could hang our hat on. But again, we're asking ourselves, okay, how do all these pieces fit together? We've got a bunch of guards. Honestly, this team's going to be enjoyable to watch. And the question is, are we good enough to hang around and be in the play-in game again?
And that becomes the question. Is Kobe White also is somebody who has a lot of value? He said reportedly he's not taking any hometown discounts, nor should he. If you win a Player of the Month award in the NBA, I don't care what month it is, that indicates to me your level of talent and your value in this league. So that said, here's what it's hinging on. Will is spot on there. Giddey's your most talented.
He is your most talented, but I go back to the development aspect of it. I want to know what his ceiling is as an individual player. I want to know, can he give you adequate defense? Not good defense, just adequate defense. He can't be a traffic cone out there. And we saw him play hard
at
times.
Can't play Ole defense.
Can't play the Ole defense.
You move your arm out like Ole?
No, because even Tyrese Halliburton, who's not the greatest defender in the world, gives effort. And that's why the Pacers' defensive identity worked.
Well, and the Pacers' team defensive concepts are so strong. Like, we saw that time and time again. Oklahoma City was able to score Will until they met the Pacers, and that had to change their offensive flow.
773 on the text line. What's most impressive about the Bulls is how they've managed to have an awful roster, no cap flexibility, and no extra draft capital. The best thing that happened to the Bulls last year was CHSN not being on Xfinity. Man, that's tough criticism. I do want people to be able to watch the games because the Bulls did play an exciting brand of basketball. But the other points stand. They don't have cap flexibility. They don't have extra draft capital. And the roster is subpar because it's relative. Relative to other rosters is bad.
Until you move Vooch, which we want to have happen. And you could argue that he would be the team's most talented player as well. His first half of the year put him in a discussion squarely for All-Star. But until you move him or until you decide what you can do with Patrick Williams' deal, you as a team have decided you have to move around those, and that's what we're seeing the Bulls do right now. But I even just in looking at how the Bucks were able to get some flexibility regarding Damian Lillard and Miles Turner, if you want to make something happen, you can. It's just how much are you going to take it on the chin? But is it even taking it on the chin when you've decided the draft picks aren't as necessarily important to you?
In terms of acquiring more draft capital than you already have?
Correct.
Yeah, it seems like a lost cause from that aspect. I just look at this Bulls team, and I understand the frustration of their fans, the ones who are waiting for them to do something of note. Josh Giddey, my question with him is always going to be, he can be the blank best team on a championship contender. And that's how you figure out what the deal is with the salary.
Fair enough. As we talk about NBA free agency, this is Rahimian Harris on the Score. And this is also, I think, a valid point to bring up as well. Not only does Shane Gilgeous-Alexander get the Supermax today, a reported $285 million.
Over 4 years.
4 years!
That...
No, the more you say it, the more unrealistic it sounds.
I remember when Michael Jordan got paid $36 million for 1 year and people lost their minds.
They damn near lost their minds finding out how much LeBron was going to get yesterday.
53.
Yeah, 52.6.
So the one thing I'll say about the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander deserves every penny of it.
Absolutely.
You're paying. It's the rare thing where you're paying a guy not just on what he's done, but what you think he's going to do. And a 4-year deal at this point in his career makes all the sense in the world because he could legitimately win you 4 more titles over those 4 years.
That's it. It's not necessary. The contracts don't typically pay you for what you did do. They pay you for what they think you're going to do. Now, whether it's in a year or two where the first couple of years are the most important and you end up having to pay the rest, or if you think somebody for that whole time will produce, no doubt in my mind that SGA is going to produce that whole time. Not even a doubt.
I think the big thing watching going forward is the Josh Giddey deal, how much they end up paying him, and then are there any other moves? Do they move Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White, Nikola Vucevic, and I'm going to say it out loud even though I don't believe it's possible, Patrick Williams.
And you were right. I think that's going to require them giving something along the lines of a draft pick that unfortunately they don't have. And that's why I consider the Caruso trade, for example, and I consider how much he meant to Oklahoma City. And could you have gotten another draft pick in that discussion? And the report said you could have.
That's crazy that they didn't.
The reports say Lonzo Ball you could have. And then what happens? You have more flexibility in order to move a guy like Patrick Williams, where he likely is better on another team.
The question remains, even though it can't be answered by us, what do you think the Bulls should do next? As opposed to what do we think Arturis Karnišovas will do next?
Right. What they should do versus what they will do.
Right.
And that's a part of this that I think is concerning. And 630, even though it's a bit veiled, I get it. 630 says, give Giddey the bag and he'll look like Casper the Ghost playing defense out there.
Man.
Isn't that the concern? Kind of a la a James Harden, if you will. Like, the second that guy gets paid, you're worried that the defense is going to disintegrate.
I don't know about disintegrate. I think if it just stays where it is, it's not good enough.
I would agree with that.
So, yeah, I think we have to figure out what it is that they're trying to do with the players they have on the roster. And are they ever going to subscribe to draft picks good, players good, draft picks better?
Or draft picks help you do other things with the players?
Cash in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You guys keep talking about, you know, building depth, but at the end of the day, you still need that dude. Where are you guys going to find that dude?
You know, there's other players in this building on this team who, if they continue to develop, continue to work on a daily basis, they may get there. And we have the resources in place, the coaching staff, player development to support that.
That was Mark Eversley, the Bulls general manager.
Get your super serum ready. We're going to inject that dude that we already have in our development, and he's going to be like Captain America, Steve Rogers style. Except for probably not.
A man we can discuss that with, Marshall,
yeah,
is joining us right now on the Circle Resort and Casino Hotline, CircleLasVegas.com. He's a friend of the show. It's always nice to hear him. Mark Deeks. Mark Deeks is at Mark Deeks NBA. He's a basketball scout and writer and is an NBA cap analyst. And typically, I would want to start with talking about the Bulls themselves. But Mark, this is July 1st. We've already seen a lot of crazy deals happen earlier today. One of the most notable being the Bucks going after the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard and making a lot of moves there. Extending certain players, they're going after others. How do you evaluate just what they were able to do with Damian Lillard to free up money to get Miles Turner?
It's completely unfathomable, isn't it? We're now in a world where Damian Lillard is being waived and stretched. Luka Doncic is a Laker. What is the point, guys, of making any predictions when this is the league today and compared to 6 months ago? It is crazy. I can't imagine anybody saw this coming. I say that from the media side, the fan side, but also, as far as I'm aware, no one in the league really anticipated this. I'm sure there were some, but it's news to me. It is a dumbfounding move, but not in a bad way. I compare it, I think, to Denver with their moves that they made, quote-unquote, yesterday, when they traded Michael Porter for Cam Johnson. They broke through the concrete that they had built up. They got stuck in this salary cap quagmire where they had lots of payroll on the books. And it's not about whether they can afford to cut the checks. They can. It's about what that restricts you from doing going forwards. Denver was stuck. Milwaukee was stuck. Boston were stuck. These teams have all taken drastic measures. None more drastic, I would say, than waiving Damian Lillard. Wow. Of course, he's injured, but who saw that coming? You invest your future, every single tradable asset you've got, into this man, and then you waive him. It's a staggering move, but I don't hate it. they're doing something drastic because they're in a drastic position. They have to keep Giannis. They couldn't get better. They can't do this with minimum salary Gary Trent signings. They have to try something. So fair play to them for trying, as long as they haven't annoyed Giannis.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? Keep Giannis happy, keep Giannis here, and build around him, especially in an Eastern Conference that appears to have a very soft ceiling when we're talking about 2025-26 season. Meanwhile, there's the Bulls, who are mired in mediocrity, to say the least. I'm curious as to your thoughts on the Bulls' approach right about now, and if anyone is in a worse situation than the Bulls are heading into this offseason.
The two different answers to your two different questions there. Are there teams in a worse situation? Yes. Are the Bulls doing the right thing? No. Things aren't dreadful. Let's not look at Charlotte, for example, where they've been for so long. The Bulls are a playing team. It's not good enough, but it's not dreadful. But where's it going? That is the question. That has long been the question. They are not taking the bottoming out route that is customary, not mandatory, but customary within team building. They're not prioritizing getting back draft assets in the players that they do trade. I believe they've got one in total for the quartet of Caruso, Levine, DeRozan, and whoever it is, I've forgotten. I believe they got one draft pick back out of those four trades.
It was their own, though. That's the problem.
Oh, Lonzo. Exactly. Yeah, it was Lonzo exactly. Was the fourth, yes.
There you go, Lonzo. Thank you. Now, they've got Josh Giddey in the process of that, but that's, again, we're assuming he will resign. I am assuming he will resign. That's fine. Is Josh Giddey your man? No. Is Kobe White your man? No. Patrick Williams isn't. We know that. Where's the foundational piece? The Bulls have been open about trying to build with this 8 or 9 good player scenario. Toronto did it a few years ago. Fine in theory, but they are so far short of that. Look at Toronto's bench when they were doing that. They had Fred VanVleet, all-star. Norman Powell nearly was. OG Anunoby, that's beyond the Siakam, Kyle Lowry in his prime, Kawhi Leonard, top of the shop. They are so far short of that. And the only way they're going to get there is to land about 6 or 7 winning lottery tickets, and without having that many to work with. They don't have assets. They don't have upside. They have some decent players, but even when they trade them, they're not getting a lot back for them. No offense, Isaac Okoro, he's not moving the needle at all. So I don't like where it's going, because I don't think it's going anywhere.
Well, that's the point, though, Mark, is you said yes to one answer and no to the other as far as being dreadful, because the answer was where they are and that they have no vision going forward. I would say they are in the most dreadful situation because nothing is going to change as these front office people got extensions. There's no pressure to change the way that they are doing business.
I would also just like to point out the way he says dreadful, Marshall, versus the way Mark says dreadful. It's so much better coming across the Atlantic.
Well, thank you very much. If it wasn't for this accent, I'd have had a very different career. So thank you. I'm dining out on the novelty of being the Englishman. It's landed me, it's done all right for me so far. So I'm going to keep going with it. Any other English phrases you want, let me know. I'm your man. I do agree with you, though, broadly, on the point about how there is a lack of reason for optimism, I guess, lack of hope. There are worse situations. I come back to Charlotte again because they've been considerably worse for a lot longer. The Bulls are more sort of mediocre, meh, if you will. They are not, for a franchise so storied and with such a market share and such legacy, they should be doing more than this. There is a lack of ambition, I think, that defines it. However, let's say there is one or two good trades in the pipeline. We could be looking at a 50-win team. A 50-win team with enough, particularly in the form of Noah Senga, who was a good pick, to be able to build on top of that and get somewhere. I don't see much reason, given what they've done over the last couple of reasons, to assume that will happen, but it is possible if they are selectively aggressive, just as Indiana were when they targeted Pascal Siakam. Indiana, despite having a very different budget and very different potential if they chose to use it, chose a similar team-building strategy of never bottoming out, never going the whole Philadelphia 76ers process or Oklahoma City Thunder style of getting every single pick possible, of staying in that mid-range and hoping to strike gold. They did so with Siakam, and they really did so with Tyrese Halliburton. It is a huge ask for the Bulls to do the same. It requires a level of foresight and personal development and asset management that we haven't seen from them. But if they can strike gold, they're going to get away with it. So hope for that.
Well, I also think, Mark, and we're talking to our friend Mark Deeks, who says dreadful way better because he's British The accent's just cooler. It just is. Yeah, you know that. We know that. He's a basketball operations analyst and NBA salary cap expert. You can check out his work on heavy.com and hoopshype.com. And I also think that, I said this earlier in the show, I feel like the Bulls have maybe voluntarily somewhat, when you look at how creative teams are getting with some of these deals, because they don't have a lot of draft picks to move in addition to something else, they may have painted themselves into a corner when you consider the financial commitment that they made to Patrick Williams, even though it's, relatively speaking, team-friendly, and to Nikola Vucevic. You know, what are your thoughts on those two contracts kind of putting them in this scenario?
Yes, I have to agree with you. Patrick Williams has not lived up to the money and doesn't look like he's going to. Vucevic, you've got some resale value there, but it's very little. I think in reality, it'll be at best a sideways move. I think they should look to do that with Vucevic in particular. In the case of Williams, I think you ride this one out at least until the next deadline, possibly until next summer. He has to grow substantially for this to have any ambitions of working as an era of Bulls basketball, if you will. And the fact that the growth rate has been so very slow on both ends of the court means any dream of getting a Siakam type just isn't possible. You're barely looking at an NBA caliber starter, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean that looking at the numbers and the comparisons to those around him. So it's possible for you to fit Siakam into that 8 or 9, I believe it was, that Castanova said was the crux of their dream of having 8 or 9 good players. It's possible that he can be one of them, but he can't be, as we look at it today, one of the top 4 or 5 that is required. He's not paid like it, admittedly, but he's not paid a favorable contract. It just makes another net negative, or at the very least net neutral, asset on a team with too many of those. I think you have to wait it out for now, give him a chance to rebuild his value, potentially kick on as a player, but there's urgency there, or otherwise it's a lost pick.
That word you use, urgency, I've heard it before, but I just haven't seen it exhibited in this city as far as the front office of a professional basketball team in quite some time. Mark, looking at this year and what you see the Bulls' potential being, we were asking ourselves, what's the ceiling for this Bulls group as it is, knowing that Nikola Vucevic may very well likely finish out his contract in Chicago, knowing that Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu could very well be Bulls for the rest of the season. What do you see the ceiling being for this team?
45 wins, pretty much, as constructed. That assumes Josh Giddey's coming back. 45 is probably your top. I'm not saying that's likely. I think you're probably more likely to have 35, but 45 is your top. They will be in the playoff picture, barring injury-related disaster. You can't legislate for the injuries. We might look silly if they end up winning 25 if they get serious injuries, but injuries will happen to someone, possibly them. Fine. But that 35 to 45 win range, they are still in. They haven't got worse here. They haven't got better, fine, but they haven't got worse. The LaVine DeRozan team peaked. There was enough in the second half of last season with the Zach Collins, Trey Jones acquisitions, etc., to be able to at least sustain. I don't see growth potential. I don't see urgency, as you say, Marshall. That's the word that's not used with regards to this team. It can't be. I don't see those things, and you need to see those things for a prognosis. They will, however, probably stay at a level, plateau perhaps. If that's not enough, but it will put them in that 40 wins, 8 to 10th seed, one good trade, maybe they're up to 6th range. It's better than it used to be, I guess, when we're talking about 20 years ago, back when they were bottoming out and we're looking at 30 wins and a triangle offense. It's a little better, but there is still no urgency.
30 wins in a triangle offense. That is not a sales pitch or a marketing slogan that I think is going to work in today's NBA. Mark, I do want to ask you, since you are a salary cap expert, we've talked to you a lot about the evolution of the league, even over the last few years that you've been on the Midday Show. Given what you've seen in the past, like 48 hours, how do you think, what team do you think has really stood out to you as far as maneuvering well in this new CBA with the aprons and the luxury taxes and just trying to get a competitive team together?
Earlier on, I said about the Denver Nuggets, and I would stand by that one, especially considering that they've seemingly now acquired Jonas Valanciunas, a quality backup center for only Dario Saric, who wasn't in the rotation anyway. They've added at a time when they could have cut. Now, they had to trade their 2032 first in order to do so, to free up that very concrete that I was describing. That will hurt them in 7 years' time. Let's worry about that in 7 years' time, because in 7 years' time, Nikola Jokic will be 37. We'll worry about that then. For now, they've been able to reopen a competitiveness window that was looking lost when they fired their head coach with 3 games to go in the past season. Them for one. Secondly, Atlanta Hawks. They are doing well. They've had a personnel change in the front office, and it is evident. They were able to not only win the bidding war for Nikhil Alexander-Walker. When did the Hawks last win a bidding war? They also were able to take on Kristaps Porzingis by taking advantage of Boston's need to cut salary. They fleeced the Pelicans for an extra unprotected first-round pick next season by trading down a mere 5 spots. I'm seeing some dance in there, Marshall, and it is justified. It is absolutely justified.
That could have been the Bulls.
It could have been the Bulls. It should have been the Bulls. But it wasn't. We can only work with what we know. But because the Hawks are now taking advantage of the very situations in which they used to be the ones getting taken advantage of, they have become trendsetters. They have become pioneers. They now have Luke Kennard, who will be an 8-figure expiring contract. They have that pick that they can go with it. They've still got some trade exception money left over. They have growth potential from Zachary Rhys-Eshay, a Kongwu from Dyson Daniels, breakout defensive star. And of course, they've got the actual superstar in Trae Young.
I don't know if Trae Young's a superstar because that man's inefficient. I do not like his game, but I understand everything else you said.
We
I agree with everything
a lot
else
about
said.
The Hawks in our pre-show meeting, actually.
Yeah.
There you go.
I appreciate you, Mark. Thanks so much. I mean, this has been, I don't know what to, it's been a very good visit from you across the pond.
I know. It's great to hear from you, Mark. You've always been a great, appreciated guest on the show. If you want to hear more from Mark, you can check his work out at heavy.com and hoopshype.com. He's also on Twitter at MarkDeeksNBA. Thanks again for joining us, Mark. And the fact that we got a dreadful in from you is just perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. If you want me to record your voicemail inbox messages or something, just let me know.
I think we actually would. Yeah, I would be all for that. We'll come up with something creative. We'll get on this for sure. Our man across the pond, Mark Deeks. It is a great accent. On Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
117-116 Lakers. Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Giddey goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's good! It's good! It's good! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddey from midcourt from the Bulls logo. What a ball game! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Josh Giddey, I love you!
Considering you just traded him for a guy that just won a championship, and let's be honest. I mean, is Josh Giddey better than Alex Caruso from an individual skill basis? Absolutely. But at the same time, you also saw how important an Alex Caruso was to a team like Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You could honestly say he was the missing piece that pushed him over the top, but he was just one of the building blocks, right? He's never going to be the centerpiece. He was a building block. We're curious, you know, which direction are we going and how is this team going to be built out? If they do re-sign Josh Giddey, to me, that sends the message that he is the centerpiece. He is the building block. We're going to build around him.
Oh. That was Will Perdue talking with Mully and Haw about Josh Giddey and the Bulls. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We're going to talk with Tom Hamilton, Guardians broadcaster and Hall of Famer, coming up at 3:25. Okay, so Spiegs, my default setting is a setting of skepticism. Okay,
not cynicism, but skepticism.
Skepticism.
All right.
Maybe leaning towards cynicism when it comes to the Bulls.
By the way, let me remind people, we're giving away one pair of tickets to Adam Sandler. It's the You're My Best Friend tour, October 20th at the United Center. Be caller number 6 to 312-540-0670. When you hear this...
30 years of Downey, 45 years of Lord. 6 years of our boy Farley, 5 of our buddy Norm.
From his lovely...
That's actually really beautiful.
Yeah, it's from the lovely SNL song that he wrote and was part of his last sort of pseudo rock star tour. But anyway, the Adam Sandler You're My Best Friend tour. Be caller number 6 to the contest line when you hear that later on. All right, so Lawrence Holmes' default is skepticism bordering... on cynicism, and all I can say is good vibes, babe.
Yeah, I know. As a person, I am probably a little bit more good vibes. When it comes to trying to figure out what's going on with the sports teams...
A lot of negative vibes.
Because of my background as a reporter, knowing a little bit how the sausage is made, I usually start at skepticism... and can be easily moved to cynicism when it comes to some of this stuff.
So tempting. So easy to get moved there, too. But anyway, I hear you. Okay.
So I'm at home. I'm reading Julia Poe in the Tribune, and I'm reading what she's writing about the Bulls. I'm looking at reaction to the Trey Jones signing from Bulls fans, and they're just like, oh, okay. I'm looking at the draft, and then I'm thinking about Josh Giddey. Now, I don't like Giddey as a player.
You never have.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Well,
I really liked him in Oklahoma City, and that was out of town stupid. When I was looking more than just the box score and the highlights and getting a chance to watch him, because when he was with OKC, they played a game against the Bulls, and I was there for it. And I want to say he had notched a triple-double, and it wasn't a cheap triple-double. Like, it was like 26, 13, and 12 or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, this guy's got the size. He gets up and down the floor. He's a guard that'll go and rebound. Like, there were things I'm like, ooh. But watching him every game, like, since he's been a Bull.
Yeah, that's what I was... going to, because I remember early on in the season, I remember the one day you came in and was like, you know, I've been thinking about it. I hate his game.
I hate it.
I just hate his game. And I know, and there's a lot of people who ended up there, but there were other people who loved his game. I had passionate basketball conversation with some hardcore fans in this town at Tributo shows and otherwise. Dudes coming up to me saying, man, you don't like Giddey? I hear you guys talking about Giddey. You don't see it with that guy?
I don't.
But sometimes you can see it. You hate his defense.
I'm picturing you in full David Bowie makeup and someone coming up to you. Dude, why don't you like Giddey, bro?
Tanny, we don't wear makeup, man. We don't wear makeup or costumes. The music is the star, okay? Get hip to the ethos by now. We've only been working together for, I don't know, 25 years?
Yeah.
35 years?
Yeah, and the next time you invite me to Tributo show will be the first time.
Didn't expecting that crackback warrior there, Speaks.
Didn't know you needed an invite. You know, but I'll make sure to pass that on. Alex, by the way, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you, Speaks. Was waiting for that.
Absolutely
been
anytime.
Been 2 months.
Yeah, geez. Absolutely. You can come back and hang with the boys. They'd love to meet you. Tanny, not so much.
I mean, right, go ahead, I mean, Spiegs pretty much made Grody a part of the band.
That's all it takes. One spoken word part on a holiday show.
And then you're part of the band.
You get hired.
There's nothing wrong with that. So back to Giddy. Watching him play, and this is the way that I describe him. His game is very much like a rec league guy's game. He just wants to get the ball and get up and down the floor. He doesn't care that much about stops. I think he's particularly bad at closing out on shooters. I think that he's bad about getting in front of the person with the ball. And I don't think that he cares. Now, you can make the argument that rebounding is a part of defense, and he does still do that fairly well, especially for the position that he plays. I just think that the stuff – I'm concerned, and I have been concerned, that thing that we saw from him in the second half of the season was a lot of – well, there's not really a ton of people out here that can go out and get buckets.
Somebody's got to score points on a bad team.
I can go get buckets, and my contract is coming up, so I could be that, and then I can get paid.
God, the rec league
thing. And God bless him for that.
Sure. The rec league thing is so apt, by the way, because he's like, he's a three-quarter court player. You know, even if his own guy starts going into that very important last quarter of the court, he's often a three-quarter court player.
So I'm reading Julia today, and I'm like, okay, maybe I've just gotten this Giddy thing wrong. And then I had to stop myself, and I'm like, why am I giving the Bulls the benefit of the doubt? Like, this is what happens. This is what happens to all of us. And I'm trying not to stay in a place where I'm just angry at the Bulls all the time. I don't like that. I don't want that. Because I love what Bulls basketball has, like, done for me. Like, as a person, as a broadcaster, what it's done for me.
Oh, but it's your job, frankly, to look in the bubble and see what it is, to acknowledge the greater emotions which you share with so many of the listeners, the greater experience raised on Jordan and such. But to be able to look in this bubble, this the Michael Reinsdorf regime, the Arturas Karnišovas regime, this vision of ball, to be where you are, I feel it. As you're saying it, I feel you. You know, kind of rationalizing the Giddy money to yourself.
Yes.
The same way that I rationalized the Zach LaVine max contract money, or the Zach LaVine Sacramento offer sheet match money, that like they need somebody and this is who they have.
I'm trying to, you're hitting it right on the head of the nail. I am trying to justify this. Like, I'm like, okay, be your own ombudsman. Challenge yourself. Go back and look at the games. Listen to really smart people who talk about basketball. All that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I get that he's 23 years old and there might be a player that ends up developing. But the fact that he was moved off of a team and they got better because of it, and the Bulls only got him back, even though there were plenty of draft picks that they probably could have gotten. Mm-hmm. And because Oklahoma City wanted to get rid of Josh Giddy, that he had been demoted on a team that was making a run. He had been demoted to the bench. And I just feel like, of course, he's going to look good on a team with no real aspirations. And the stuff that he does do is dramatic and exciting and all of that stuff. It's just.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. What did Keith Smith tell us? What did Keith Smith tell us the money's going to be?
Yeah,
let's add this in.
We should go back to that. When we talked with Keith Smith on Friday, here's where he said the contract parameters should be to justify Josh Giddy being in a Bulls uniform. What's the number in your mind, since Josh Giddy is an RFA, that the Bulls should let him walk if he gets on the open market?
Yeah, the number is probably going to be a lot higher. It may be a little shocking than what I think most people would think it is. Because when you get into a position like with Josh Giddy, you have to factor in where the cap growth has gone. So I think if it gets much north of 25, maybe 28 million, you have to start thinking like, all right, we're going the other way. Here's the challenge. Who's giving him that kind of offer? I don't know that there's a team out there that's going to give it to him. And that's where I think the Bulls, it kind of works a little bit more in their favor, maybe more towards the $25 million range for a guy like Josh Giddey than getting up into the $28, $30 million, because I just don't think the Nets are parachuting in with an offer like that, nor do I think a team's coming in with anything like that through sign and trade.
If the number is over, let's say it's 20, let's call it $25 million, do you think that that's good money for the Bulls to extend Giddey?
I think it's okay because they don't have a lot of long-term salary locked up on their books. And the important thing to note is a salary that's less than $30 million, I mean, sounds crazy, right? Because that was close to a max deal. That's the lowest end max deal next season is $38.6 million. So you're well under that. If you're under $30 million, you're talking about 20% of the cap or so, and then it won't grow as much as the cap will grow over the next couple years. You can pitch the idea of, hey, just, you know, don't do that. Let's go into next summer with a whole crap ton of cap space, because they would only have a couple deals on the books and they could really be in a good spot to go after people. But we kind of talked about it. That's not what they do. So I'm in favor of locking up Josh Giddey to a reasonable number. I think 25-ish, you know, maybe a little more is a fairly reasonable number for him, because I'm just not sure they're going to jump in and go spend a whole, you know, ton of cap space.
All right. So, Lawrence, I found myself laughing as we listened back to Keith Smith, because I felt him contextualizing 25 mil versus 28 mil and rationalizing exactly the way you were struggling with it today. So here's the thing. I appreciate you wanting to be your own ombudsman, as you brought it up earlier. But I don't think you should have to do that. I think we have a friend of the show who can be the ombudsman when we need it, but his name is Boog. So we'll ask Boog Shambi to be the ombudsman in this in this regard. Boog, are you with us? Are you available for ombudsmanship duty right now?
I am. I mean, but this is like a get in, get out type situation. But like, throw it at me, and I'll bang the gavel, and then I'm out. And look, I may not be gentle, you know.
Understood. So the question, Lawrence, you can throw the question at him.
Boog, what's a fair number for Josh Giddey to get in free agency and for the Bulls to match?
And the larger question is, do you just pay a guy because you have a guy who's decent, even if he's not worth the number, because that's the going rate for the guy and you need somebody to fill out your roster who's decent? That's the larger ethical question from a sports team building standpoint.
I like Josh Giddey. I think for where they are, they probably just have to pay the money and get the guy. I just, as the ombudsman, I was just like double checking. The NBA starts like the end of October, right?
Yes. Yes. But free agency is going on right now.
Understood. Okay. I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
We did an hour of baseball, and then your colleague Tom Hamilton is going to join us in the next segment.
Mm-hmm. I am not implying anything.
I felt an implication, sir.
Look, I'm the public editor. That's what the ombudsman is. I'm just asking.
All right, that's fair. So from a show content standpoint, you're not sure this is quality show content. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, I think I got another call. I gotta tell you guys.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet you do.
The ombudsman.
That is the ombudsman.
The ombudsman.
I like that now Boog might just randomly call the show.
That's gonna be his gig. He's willing to be our ombudsman.
But Speaks, do you see here I guess is my point. Oh, and I'm glad that we've done this, because it's helped me to crystallize it.
Good.
No one is necessarily happy about Josh Giddey. Everyone's just like, well, they might as well. Yes. They might as well do it.
And how often is that worked out?
It never works.
Are you sure? Now let's think about it, because as Boog was answering the ethical question, and also then after that, the show content question, which is an amazing usage of the ombudsman, the ethical question, it reminded me of a starting pitcher making $15 to $17 million who you say, you know what, you need a four. All teams need a four who shows up.
Right, but that's a role where you ideally have other slots. What you're asking in this case, because he would end up being your highest paid player.
Yeah, do you pay him like your star?
That's...
Pay him like your lead dog who you build around.
He'd be making, what, twice as much than Kobe, right?
Is this a salary floor sport situation? Is it, you know, is it...
Do they have to do this to get to the salary floor?
Not that they necessarily have to, but it becomes more palatable in a sport with a salary floor.
It is absolutely more palatable. My only thing, and a texter, and I'll speak to you directly. A texter's like, he's only 23 years old. His game's not even close to refined. Give him a chance to develop. I would remind you, Patrick Williams is only 23 years old. And you have watched 4 years of Patrick Williams, and you know exactly what he is as a player.
Yeah.
So the age doesn't really matter as much as if, other than, have you seen enough to make you believe that there is more there? And do we actually have an effort issue? If the guy that he was the second half of the year for the Bulls isn't the guy that he was in year two and three for Oklahoma City,
yeah,
I have questions.
You know, it's interesting because when you think about Zach LaVine, who is 30 right now, when he signed the offer, he was what, 24? Was he 24 when he signed, or I guess 23? Zach was 23.
Yeah, because he's another guy that came in at 19.
So Zach was, it's the same thing. It really is. Did Zach outperform that contract based on NBA standards, value over replacement player and such?
No, because of the time spent because of injuries. I think with his actual play on the floor,
yes,
there's
probably
an argument for it, but the time that he missed is not.
That's also like, is he a winning ball player?
But that's where I'm at.
That's why it feels the same. Because we watched Zach and eventually came to the conclusion he's just not a winning ball player. He's not a guy who impacts winning as much as he impacts numbers and score sheet, and you fear Giddy might be that same guy.
And here's what's made me more emboldened on this opinion. As everyone has talked over the last 2 weeks about how impressive Sam Presti is, and look at what he's built.
They don't
and
do
look
that.
Look at how he built it.
He doesn't do
the
that.
The fact that he is like, this guy is not a championship player.
Yep.
That gives me more pause than even my own opinion
on it. As it should be. As it should.
Yeah. All right, thank you, man. I appreciate the therapy.
Breaking Bulls news. No. The Bulls signed Josh Giddey to an extension.
You?
Keep
how
it right here
you?
As we can.
How dare you?
It's coming. You know it's coming. My my guy Tom Ziller, who I read all the time on the NBA, he wrote today about all the important moves yesterday. The lead paragraphs are about Michael Porter Jr., right?
Uh-huh.
And then he's got
should have been a Bull.
Yes, it's true. And then he's got the Rockets moves that he talks about that happened yesterday in addition to the Durant. And then he has a list of other moves in this context. NBA free agent moves ranked in order of importance to next year's playoffs. Okay, how far down the list do you suppose I had to go to get to the Bulls and Trey Jones?
I'm guessing way down because they're not considered a playoff team.
I like Trey Jones. He's fine.
I do too. There's nothing wrong. But see, that's where we're at the Bulls.
I know. But 3 years, 24 mil. So, but in terms of the order of importance, and this speaks to the relevance of the Bulls on the national landscape, you got to go all the way down past 10, past 15. Of yesterday's moves alone, past Dennis Schroeder to the Kings, you get to Trey Jones re-signs with the Bulls. Right above Looney to the Pelicans and Mason Plumlee to the Hornets.
I don't like it.
That's where the Bulls' big move from yesterday stands in terms of its relevance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.